Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Max Sylvester was so excited about his very first airplane flight as a student pilot. Max had always wanted to learn how to fly an airplane. And to help prepare him for this great day, he'd studied hard. He'd read books about airplanes and had studied about how to pilot an aircraft. The only thing left for Max to become a pilot was to spend time in a plane learning from a trained pilot. And so, finally, after all his preparation, he was now boarding the plane to begin his training. But then, in the middle of his very first training flight, the instructor suddenly slumped over and passed out. Max tried frantically to revive his flight instructor, but all to no avail. The man flying the plane was unconscious, and nothing Max did would wake him. Suddenly, Max Sylvester found himself 10,000 feet above ground and forced to fly a plane for the very first time by himself. Max wasn't sure what to do. He wasn't sure what buttons to push and what lever to pull. He wasn't even sure where the plane was or where it was headed or how he would ever get it down safely. All the planning and all the studying had not prepared him to pilot the plane alone in the middle of the flight. Have you ever felt like Max? Have you ever felt unsure about where you were headed or how you would get there or what would happen next in life? Uncertainty can hit us at any time, but it can be especially strong as we approach the halfway point in the year. See, the fact is, in just a few weeks, we're going to hit the middle of 2020. Maybe things haven't turned out the way you expected this year, and it seems as if you've lost your way. Perhaps you're watching today, and you're facing uncertainty about a decision or a direction in life, and you're not sure you can make it safely to the end. But I have good news for you today. God has it all under control. If you'll stay in faith, he will work it out. If you'll obey him, he'll carry you through. If you'll keep following Jesus, he'll keep leading you. And I believe he's got a miracle in the middle of the year for you. That's the message in today's sermon. We're going to discover the amazing truth that will help you find your miracle in the middle of the battle so you can persevere in the middle of the year. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. As we come to the middle of 2020, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and take control in our lives and lead us safely to the end. There's uncertainty around many of us. There's indecisions coming against us. But we pray today, Lord, that your Spirit will speak clearly today through your word and you'll give us the courage to persevere in the middle. Right now, we submit to you, and I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to speak to our hearts, the power to enlighten our minds, the power to give us the courage to persevere through to our promise. We thank you that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and our lives will be blessed. We ask this in faith in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to join your faith with mine right now. Go ahead and put your hand on your chest and just say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome to our broadcast today. I'm so blessed to have you join me today. You picked a great day to join in as I begin a new sermon series titled Miracle in the Middle. As we approach the middle of the year, God has a special miracle for you. If you believe it, say amen. Now, there's no doubt that this year hasn't turned out the way any of us expected. Who knew back in January that the coronavirus pandemic would shake the world the way it has? And so as we approach the middle of 2020, you may feel anxious. You may feel that you're behind schedule. The year has not met your expectations and there's a ticking time clock and you feel pressure. Or maybe you feel relieved right now. This year hasn't been good to you at all, so you're glad to know it's halfway over. You may be thinking, let's just get over this year and hope 2021 is better. But whatever you're feeling today, the middle of the year is a great time to pause and get renewed. As we approach the middle of the year, it's time to turn to God. For you see, God has you covered in the middle. He's the one who got you started, and he's the one who has the power to see you through. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. But he's also the God of the middle. He doesn't just start you off and then wait for you at the finish line. He's there all the way through the journey. He's here with you now in the middle of the year just as much as he was when he brought you into the year. And he knows that to get you to the end, you need his strength in the middle. If you're going to receive his promise for this year, you have to persevere through. That's what the encouraging promise our scripture text for today gives us. It's found in Hebrews 10, 36, and it's on your sermon notes, and it will appear on your screen as well. But I believe God's word has the most impact when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So I invite you to read God's word together with me out loud right now. Let's proclaim his word like we believe it. Are you ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love this simple verse. It's a promise. God has something good for you. You will receive what he's promised for you. God's perfect plan is going to work out in your life. But it's not just a promise, it's a pattern to follow. The Lord is letting us know the way forward. Do his will. Do his will and you receive his promise. So there's a promise, there's a pattern, and there's a proclamation. Persevere. Don't give up. God has great things for you as you follow his will. But you won't achieve them if you give up. So don't give up. Persevere. But if we're honest today, this is where we face the battle. I don't know about you, but I'm going to guess that most of us have felt like giving up at some point in time so far this year. I know I have. There have been times when I felt like I couldn't go on. There are days I wanted to just quit. And that's the challenge for all of us here in the middle. We believe there's a promise. We follow God's plan, but we often get stuck in the middle. When the battle is raging, when there seems to be no progress, when you're tired and worn out, that's when you need to persevere. So let me help you discover how you can persevere in the middle of the battle so you can get to your promise. And to help me help you, we're going to take a look at a famous story from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. It's the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Listen as I read the story from Joshua chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called the priests and he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in. And they took the city. Amen. What an amazing story. And it's so full of lessons for us. So let's look closely at the story and find the 3 lessons about perseverance we can all learn today. And here's your first lesson. Don't stop when you don't know where you're going. Listen again to the first 2 verses of our story. Joshua 6, 1 and 2 says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Everybody say, see. You know what? I think these 2 verses are kind of funny. I think God has a sense of humor, don't you? In verse 1, the Bible says that the gates were shut tight. No one was going in or out. The walls were high, and Joshua and the people of Israel were shut out. Yet in verse 2, God says, see. I mean, what did you expect Joshua to see? He couldn't see anything. All he could see were tall walls and a barred gate. He couldn't see inside. He couldn't see where he was going. But God gave him the command to see, and then he gave Joshua a promise of victory. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. So here's what you need to know. God's promise is connected to what you see. God was not telling Joshua to look with his own eyes. He was telling Joshua to look through God's eyes. For the fact is, you may not see inside the city, but God does. You may not see the way forward, but God does. You may not see what victory looks like, but God does. So here's what you need to remember in the middle of the battle. God has seen the end, and he knows you win when you persevere. There's no doubt. The outcome is not in jeopardy. Victory is always ours if only we persevere. And that's why he spoke in the past tense. I have delivered them into your hands. So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and carry along with you. God speaks in the past tense about battles you haven't even fought yet. In other words, God has your future under control. He has the victory available for you for battles you haven't even entered. He's got every battle, past, present, and future, under control. But when you're in the middle of the battle, you don't always see the end result. You don't always see in the natural how things are going to work out. And that's why you have to walk by faith in order to persevere. For 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. Let's remember something today about Joshua and the Israelites. This is the very first battle they fought in the Promised Land. These people had not fought a war before. The children of Israel had never won a battle like this. So they could only imagine what it was like to possess their own land and have their own nation. They weren't able to see where they were going in the natural. But that's the way it is whenever you follow God in faith. If there's no uncertainty in your life, then you're not walking by faith. That's true for all of us. God is taking all of us to a place we've never been before. We can only speculate what heaven will be like. We can't possibly imagine the fullness of joy and ecstasy and the glory that awaits us. And even in this life, we often don't fully comprehend the great joy that is ours when we follow his will completely. We cannot imagine how rewarding it will be to reach the end of life and know that we finished our race and accomplished what God has given us. So because we cannot know what that feels like, we're tempted to get discouraged in the middle. We're tempted to wonder if it's worth it. We get tempted to give up when we don't see. That's the lesson we can learn from the life of a man named Ronald Wayne. You may never have heard of Ronald Wayne, but I can guarantee you've heard of the company he helped create. You see, Ronald Wayne was one of the original co-founders of Apple, the international computer giant. If you have an iPhone or an iPad or any Apple product, you have Ronald Wayne to thank. Now, I know that might surprise you. You're probably thinking that Steve Jobs founded Apple, and he did. But Steve Jobs didn't start Apple by himself. In fact, there were three men who banded together to launch the company called Apple. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. Ronald Wayne was a co-founder of Apple. He owned a 10% share of the company, and his name is on the original registration certificate for the business. But do you know why most people have heard of Apple, but not Ronald Wayne? Because of one simple fact. Even though Ronald Wayne helped start Apple, he didn't see where it was headed. He didn't see the potential. And shortly after the company was launched, Ronald Wayne got nervous and became worried about the future of Apple. He thought it was too risky to put his hope in a new company that was going where no other company had ever gone before. So he sold his 10% stake in Apple for $800. And moved on with his life. Of course, Apple went on to become a multi-billion dollar business. In fact, if Ronald Wayne had held on to his 10% share of Apple, today that 10% share would be worth $75 billion. That's right. He sold his stock for $800, and today that stock is worth over $75 billion, all because he didn't see. That's why your promise is connected to what you see. If you can't see it by faith, you won't pursue it. But when you see with the eyes of faith, you'll persevere in the battle even when you don't see where you're going. That's why Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. So here's what you need to know to get your miracle in the middle. If you're going to progress to a place you've never been before, you'll have to do what you've never done before. That's the lesson we learned from Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his homeland, his security, and everything that was familiar. God told him to go to a land he'd never seen, never heard of, and never thought about. He couldn't see where he was headed, but he stepped out in faith, as it tells us in Hebrews 11:8. Listen to what the Bible says. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. So he went without knowing where he was going. And of course, when Abraham stepped out in faith, he ended up with far greater blessings than he could imagine when he began. He not only got to the promised land, he became the father of many nations. For when you walk by faith, you are guaranteed a greater reward and a greater destiny than you ever dreamed of. That's why Ephesians 3:20 tells us God is able to do far more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He does everything by his power that is working in us. So here's the truth you need to hold on to in the middle of the battle. God always exceeds expectations for those who trust in him. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And let me tell you, my eyes have seen a lot. I've been in ministry for over 40 years. I've seen blind eyes opened and deaf ears begin to hear. I've seen tens of thousands receive Christ. I've seen lives delivered from the power of sin and Satan. I've seen churches planted and orphans rescued and pastors trained. But my eyes have not seen all that God has. There's still more. My ears have heard testimonies from around the world. I've heard about revivals that changed the course of history. I've heard about the outpouring of God's Spirit and of prayer meetings that lasted for years. I've heard a lot of the great things God has done, but my ears haven't heard it all. There's still more. And I've imagined a lot of what God could do, but my imagination cannot comprehend everything God wants to do. There's still more. And the same thing is true for you too, right? Right now, I'm speaking to somebody, no matter how high the wall or how strong the gate or how steep the hill or how difficult the battle, God has more for you. Put your hand on your chest and say, there's more. God has more than what you've yet experienced. God has more than what you know. He has a miracle in the middle waiting just for you. So don't limit your life by what you see. Don't limit your life to what you're familiar with. Don't stop in the middle of the battle when you don't know where you're going, for your faith is only as strong as your ability to apply it when you don't understand. And that brings us to our second lesson. Don't stop when you don't know how far you've come. Listen again to Joshua 6:3. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. And think about what this means. When you're marching around in a circle day after day, it doesn't seem like progress. It just seems like marking time. Just going round and round seems like a waste of time. After all, if you go in a straight line, at least you can see the progress you've made. You can start here and you can end there and look back and see progress. But going in circles means you end up in the same place you started. You're not ahead. You've not advanced. You're in the same place. That's not progress. And maybe that's how you feel right now. You're in the same place you were in January. You had no job then, and you have no job now. You were single then, and you're single now. You were sick then, and you're sick now. You're still in debt, still depressed, still doing nothing. And you think you're simply marking time, making no progress. But listen, friends, You've got to understand that your progress is in the process. See, God has a different view of progress than we do. He views progress not by outward markers and milestones, but by inward transformation. He views our progress by how far you've come in the process. And you have to understand the process. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. The promise is God's part. The possessing is our part. And between the promise and the possession is the process. Everybody say, process. That's what we see when God led Joshua and the Israelites to the promised land in the first place. In Deuteronomy 1:8, God said, "Look, I am giving all this land to you. Go in and occupy it, for it is the land the Lord swore to give to you." The children of Israel were given the promised land, but they had to go in and possess it. And the same thing happens with us. God gives us a promise, but we have to possess the promise. And between the promise and the possession is the process. And the fact is, you have to be faithful in the process in order to possess your promise. If you want to get from there to here, you have to pass through the process. A lot of people look at the end, but they don't see the process. And if you want to achieve great things, you have to go through a great process. A lot of people have great ambitions, but they don't have the perseverance to pass through the great process required to succeed. Some young men come to me and say, "Reverend, I want to be like you. I want a big church. I want a big car. I want a big ministry." Great. If you want to be like me, then you have to go through the process I went through. I didn't end up here until I started there. And between here and there is a process. If you want to be like me, start where I started. I started preaching on the street to people who didn't want to listen. I started out in ministry as an unknown evangelist. I had people throw rubbish at me as I stood for Christ. I had people laugh at me and threaten me for preaching. The first church I preached in was small. The first place I became a pastor was small. When I started my first church in Sapele, Delta State, Nigeria, we were locked out of the building on our second Sunday. We moved locations 3 times in 3 weeks. I've been persecuted. I've been betrayed. I've been misunderstood. I've been mocked and mistreated. I've wondered if I could go on in ministry. I've wondered where the money would come from. I started there. But now I'm here. It was a process. But I'll be honest, a lot of the time I couldn't see any progress in my process. There were times when it seemed I'd not gained any ground. There were even times when it seemed as if I'd gone backwards. When we left Nigeria to come to Ghana in 1994, it looked as if we had gone backwards. We left a church and a ministry and a Bible college and came to start from almost nothing. Sometimes it looked so bad, it looked like we'd lost ground. But we kept marching, because as long as you're faithful to God in the process, you are always making progress. When you don't see where you're going and you don't see your progress, see that God is working in you. That's why James chapter 1, 2, and 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And when you let God work in you, then you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You'll reach your destiny when you allow God to work in you through the process. That's the lesson we can learn from a young lady from Nigeria. In May 2017, she took the United States by storm when she sang on the popular television show America's Got Talent. Kechi Okuchi delivered a powerful rendition of the hit song Thinking Out Loud in front of celebrity judges like Simon Cowell and millions of TV viewers. But to get to that stage and to sing with such emotion, Kechi had to pass through a process that involved years of suffering. You see, Kechi was on board Sosoliso Flight 1145 when it crashed in Nigeria in 2005. Of the 109 people on board, 107 died. Kechi Okuchi was one of only 2 survivors. She was badly burned and had to undergo 100 surgeries. She lay for months in a hospital, wondering where her life was going and how she would ever move forward again. But in that time of suffering, music became her escape. And in the years of recovery, music became the way for Ketchy to heal emotionally. The promise of her voice passed through the process of suffering. And in that process, a new star was born. Now, I'm not advocating that you have to suffer a plane crash in order to achieve your dreams. I'm not advocating that you have to be burnt in order to progress. But I do believe this. Your miracle in the middle doesn't begin with a breakthrough in your circumstances. Your miracle in the middle begins with a breakthrough inside of you. See, before the walls of Jericho fell down, the walls of fear and failure fell inside God's people. Before they captured the city, they had to capture their tongue. You see, their fathers had grumbled and complained in the wilderness for 40 years. They provoked God and rebelled against him until he said, "None of you will enter the promised land." An entire generation passed away in the wilderness due to their stubborn, disobedient lives and their wicked tongues. So when God brought the new generation into the promised land, his biggest concern wasn't how they would conquer the land. God's biggest concern was how would they handle his commands. He had to test them to make sure the bitterness, the fear, the rebellion, and the complaining had been dealt with in their hearts. So God gave them a task that would expose their attitudes. Would they obey him when they couldn't see where they were going? Would they obey him when they couldn't see how far they had come? Would they obey orders to march around in seemingly futile exercise? Or would they murmur and rebel? That's why in Joshua 6:10, God ordered them not to make a sound. They were forbidden to speak as they marched around Jericho. No talking, no complaining, only silence. And the miracle in the middle of the battle of Jericho was not that the walls fell down or that the city was captured. The miracle in the middle of the battle of Jericho was the obedience of God's people when they couldn't see their progress. Let me be clear. It was not the voice of a prophet that caused the walls of Jericho to fall. It was the obedience of God's people. Millions of people marched around the city for 7 days in silence. Nobody complained. Nobody disobeyed. Nobody got angry. Nobody jumped out of the queue. Nobody questioned. Nobody. Sometimes we're so busy looking for our miracle, we miss the biggest miracle of all, a life that's changed to the glory of God. Sometimes we're so busy chasing after a man of God to get us out of our trouble that we fail to obey the words that God Almighty has already given to us. And the reason you don't think you're making progress is because you're looking for progress in the wrong places. God is using what you're passing through to bring progress in ways you don't understand. The children of Israel were learning to be persistent in obedience. The progress they were making as they marched around Jericho was building faith and obedience in their hearts. For the fact is, God wants to change you on the inside before he changes things on the outside. Listen to these powerful verses from 2 Peter 1. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. And self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Do these things, and you will never fall away. In other words, concentrate on progress in your character and let God concentrate on progress in your circumstances. If you do that, you will never fall away. You'll never end up short. You'll never give up early. For see, the progress God was looking for at Jericho was not geographical or financial or any other outward progress. the progress God was looking for was in their obedience and submission to him. For the fact is, outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is your responsibility. And the process may be painful, but quitting doesn't speed things up. So don't stop when you don't know where you're going. Don't stop when you don't know how far you've come. And that brings us to our third lesson. Don't stop when you don't know when you'll finish. Joshua 6:7 says this, Joshua ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. But here's one of the most interesting details in this amazing story. God told Joshua when the marching would end, but Joshua didn't tell the army until the last day. They didn't know how many days they would have to go around the city. Simply put, they didn't know when the battle would end. And we're often in battles and we don't know when the end will come. Sometimes it seems like we take two steps forward and then one step back. Sometimes it even seems like we take one step forward and two steps back. But as long as we keep our eyes on the prize and as long as we persevere, we will get to the end successfully. For you see, you have to trust that God is working even when what you're doing doesn't seem to be working. You have to trust that God's time is best. You may not know when your trial will end, but you can trust that God has your times in his hands. You may not know when your breakthrough will come, but you can know today that God will bring it to pass in his perfect time. That's why Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he's doing. For God has his own time, and we may never completely understand all that he's doing, but we can understand this. He will not allow you to stay in the battle one moment longer than necessary to complete his work in you. When it's time to shout, God will bring you out. For when God fights for you, the battle ends suddenly. When you've passed the process, God brings the victory suddenly. That's how it always works. When all the people of Israel had crossed the Jordan River, suddenly the waters of the Jordan swept over the Egyptians and covered them. When David had stepped out in faith, then suddenly Goliath fell. When the prophet Elijah was finished with his ministry, suddenly the whirlwind came with the chariot of God and carried him to heaven. When Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, suddenly the storm ceased. When Jesus ministered in faith, suddenly sight was restored. Crippled legs gained strength. The dead came back to life. Whenever the people of God pass through the test, then suddenly they get a breakthrough. Just like the children of Israel, when they passed the test, suddenly the walls of Jericho fell. It doesn't take God long to act. It doesn't even take a minute for victory to be complete. Suddenly, God can come and do whatever you need. And I declare over your life today that your breakthrough will come suddenly. Suddenly, you'll get that job. Suddenly, you'll meet that man. Suddenly, you'll win the court case. Suddenly, you'll be healed and delivered. Suddenly, you'll get the visa. Suddenly, you'll receive the phone call. Suddenly, you'll be recognized and rewarded. Suddenly, you'll have the answer. Suddenly, you'll know what to do. And I don't know when your answer will appear, but I know it will come right on time. I don't know when your breakthrough will come, but I know it won't delay 1 minute longer than it has to. Your breakthrough may seem delayed, but it's right on schedule, for God has it under control. And the enemy is powerless to stop God's plan for your life. As long as you keep moving forward in faith in God's will, you cannot fail. You may be watching today and you're asking, where am I headed in life? What's going to happen the rest of this year? Where is God taking me? But I encourage you to trust in his love. He has the best plan for you. It's better than you can imagine. You may be watching today and you're asking, am I making progress in life? Am I getting anywhere or am I just marking time? But know today that God is using all things for your good. He's working on the inside. So stay faithful in the process and you are making progress. You may be listening today and you're asking, when will this ever end? Will I ever overcome this problem? Will I ever get through this trial? But trust in God's timing. He can turn things around in a moment. He's never late, never early. He's always on time. For Jesus promised us in John 16:20, you will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. You may pass through difficulties during the process, but suddenly God will turn it around. No curse will succeed in stopping you when God has commanded his blessing on you. Your destiny is sure. All you need to do is persevere. See, the Israelites had to stay in the battle till the time had come. If they'd stopped on the first day, they would not have won. If they'd given up on day two, it would have been disaster. If they'd fallen short on third day or the fourth day or the fifth day, they would not have possessed the promised land. And if they had gotten close and then given up, they would have lost it all. So do not give up when your answer is so close at hand. Do not give in now. You may be in the middle of trouble, but there's a miracle in the middle if you'll just persevere. Do you remember the story of Max Sylvester that I told you at the beginning of my sermon? Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. When the pilot passed out, Max was left alone to land the plane, something he'd never done before in his life. In the middle of his flight, 10,000 feet above ground, Max wasn't sure if he would survive. But God helped Max. He managed to use the radio to call the air traffic control tower at the airport. And somehow, the air traffic controllers were able to tell Max what to do. He was able to guide the plane to the airport and land safely. And so it is for you today. You may feel lost and helpless in the middle of the year, but your Heavenly Father is coming to take control. He will guide you safely to the end. Keep doing what God told you to do, and He will deliver you. Keep marching in faith, and you will experience a miracle in the middle of Let us pray. Father, I commit everyone watching and listening today into your hands. Lord, for those who don't know where they're going, give them the courage to know that you will guide them step by step. Your word is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. So open up their eyes and let them see what they need to see today by faith. Lord, for those who don't know how far they've come, encourage them that they're not just marking time, but you are using their current circumstances to build faith in them. Let us all know the lessons you want us to learn. Let us see the changes you want to make in the trials we're passing through. And for everyone who doesn't know how it will end or when it will end, I pray today, Lord, you'll give us the courage to not give up. Give us the courage to persevere. I speak to every heart that wants to give up on the marriage, give up on the business, give up on the education, give up on the children, give up on that prodigal. And I speak to you today, don't give up. God says, if you will continue, if you will persevere in faith, I will deliver you. I will answer you. And suddenly you'll see a breakthrough that will cause you to shout. It will beat your imagination. It's bigger than you expected. God is going to do a miracle in the middle of your battle. Father, I bless each and every one. Seal up the seed of the word in their hearts right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, and give us the strength to find victory in the middle of the battle. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. The hope
of nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're heroes.